back in the olden days, the 80s, 90s, even part of the 70s, really, too, if you had it, we had things called answering machines. Now, it's voicemails if you use that. A lot of people don't. But you used to speak into your phone. It wasn't just a device to look at and type into. When you came home is when you got your messages, because you didn't have a device in your pocket that dinged, or your arm that would vibrate when your watch lets you know about it, or whatever it is that tells you someone's trying to communicate with you. You get home, you check your answering machine, because that's where the messages would be left. You'd press play. Oftentimes it'd be a cassette tape. Sometimes you'd have to rewind it, turn the tape over, all these things. But sometimes it'd be kind of exciting. You'd be like, all right, what's the message? Why did someone call? You have one new message. You have two new messages. Okay, great. And how did you know that the light was beeping? And how many times it beeped in sequential order is what told you how many messages you had. And sometimes you would press play and you would hear this. Nothing, just silence. You'd be like, well, what is this? What's the message? Why is there nobody leaving a message? Someone truly had an intent of calling me, but why is it silent? I suppose it still can happen to this day on voicemails and such, but it was very disappointing because you're almost looking forward to listening to those messages because you'd be waiting in anticipation all day. All right, I got a message. There's nothing. You can think of the dead in that sort of a way as well when it comes to encountering them, encountering a ghost, encountering a spirit that you see. It appears there's signs of its existence, but what's the message? You know, it's there. You know, they called or they are present, but when there's no message to be given, what is the purpose? It's very, very confusing. Sometimes maybe there is no purpose. You know, the answer back in those days really wasn't butt dial, because people didn't have cell phones to do it, which made it even more intriguing. What was the purpose of this call? Someone had to pick up that phone and dial it and not say a word. Makes you wonder. With all the effort sometimes that it seems a spirit may be going through to get through to us. But then once they're there, the message still isn't clear. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we're going to hear three different stories about possible messages being delivered from the other side to the living and trying to decipher what they're all about. Growing up in a haunted house can bring you into a select group of people who know just how real ghosts are. But how do you cope with the spirits after you've moved on with your life without those spirits of childhood? And what was their purpose anyhow, if there really wasn't much of a lesson that they brought you? And teens have a harmless sleepover, harmless in terms of the actions taken by the living over not so much the dead. And a young woman and her friend, again, they're hanging out. A deceased mother returns with a message for one of them. Well, at least so they think. They're not really quite sure even to this day what that message may be or why she returned. Great stories about mysterious messages from the other side. It's EPP bonus episode number 316 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. When you grow up in a haunted house, you get uncontrollably, essentially, indoctrinated into a special club. A special club of people who grow up understanding, knowing, and fully accepting and believing in the paranormal. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no, is this real? It's as real as the air we breathe. They are out there. They are haunting. We may not know why they're there, what they want, but we know what we've experienced. In our next story, we hear the story of a woman recalling her childhood, growing up in a haunted home, the many things her family endures, and the things her parents still endure to this day. in a house that they somewhat happily call home. Take a listen. We move from Illinois to Louisville, Texas in August of 1995. I was just turning 6 years old. The house was built in 1970, and there was only one family that lived there before we moved in. My little sister and I shared a bunk bed, and my brother had a bed across the bedroom we shared. I remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, everyone was asleep, and I was randomly woken up with a strange gut feeling. I looked in the corner of the room near the bedroom door, and there stood a figure of a tall, thin man. Now, I knew it was not my dad. My dad is short and was chunky at the time. I don't remember being scared because I was not too sure what I was seeing. I fell back asleep and did not speak about it to anybody. My little sister Stephanie was lying on the couch that was facing the kitchen. Stephanie was holding our cat and noticed the cat's demeanor had changed, as if she were scared. The cat stared into the kitchen, and that is when Stephanie had her first paranormal experience. She looked toward the kitchen where our cat was looking, and standing near the window was yet another shadow of a man. My parents and our other siblings started to see shadowy figures, so we mentioned it to our grandpa, who then introduced us to the term shadow people. It made a lot of sense to us after that, and we seemed to have accepted whoever this man was, and we even dubbed him the Hernandez Ghost. My two oldest sisters once left my little sister and me alone in the house because they saw the shadow. They ran out to the front yard and saw a man opening the curtains in my mom's bedroom. Soon after, my parents pulled into the driveway to a shocking scene of us all outside in tears from fear. A lot of things happened here and there. Kitchen cabinets would open and close. Closet doors would swing open. Living room blinds would move all on their own accord. After a while, these were things that we became used to. What we were not used to, though, were the little ghost kids that appeared shortly after the man appeared. The first experience of the ghost child was when my older brother was asleep in the living room. My mom was walking out to the kitchen and noticed my brother was sitting crisscross on the floor, talking to himself. My mom asked her what he was doing, and he replied, "I'm talking to my friends." As he said that, he was motioning to show my mom who he was talking to. Another incident happened when my sister was asleep in bed. It was a stormy night, and she awoke to a little boy sitting at the end of her bed, crying. He looked at her, told her he was scared, and asked her if he could sleep with her. She answered, "As long as you don't hurt me," and went back to sleep. One day when we kids were all at school, my dad had just gotten home from work and was relaxing on the couch that shared a wall with my sister and I's bedroom. He kept hearing us screaming and laughing, and after a while, getting annoyed by the noise, he finally banged on the wall to tell us to calm down. Minutes later, we kids walked in through the front door from school. Hearing kids giggling and walking in the hall became all too familiar to us all. Soon after, we started to physically experience whatever was in the house. My best friend stayed the night with me one night when we were in middle school. We were sleeping in my sister and I's bedroom, and she woke up after I felt somebody punch her in the shoulder. My dad's best friend also stayed with us for a night when he was in town for work. He was lying on the couch and felt someone literally holding him down. He was so scared. He left the house and drove around for 3 hours before it was time to head to the airport. To this day, he absolutely refuses to stay the night at that house and stays in a hotel instead. When my older sister Nicole entered middle school, she became borderline obsessed with the Ouija board and witchcraft. Constantly did spells and played the Ouija board in her bedroom, which just so happens to be the scariest room of the house. More on that later. At the time, I was maybe 9 years old and in third grade. I was not totally aware of witchcraft and what it was all about, so I became interested as well. I remember sitting by the back glass sliding door painting a rock while reading one of the spells out loud when suddenly the window completely shattered with me sitting next to it. The window did not fall apart because it was plexiglass, so it looked like a crazy mosaic piece of work. We ended up calling the cops because we thought somebody shot at it or possibly threw a rock to cause it to break. When the cops showed up, they searched all over for bullets, BBs, rocks, and found nothing that could have caused the window to shatter the way that it did. It also turned out that the window broke from the inside of the house. I've never touched a spell book again in my life. My older sister Nicole was lying in her bedroom waiting for her friend to pick her up from school when suddenly she saw a stack of school papers flying around in her closet. Her closet and my closet were terrifying for us to use, so we took the doors off. She screamed for my mom, and my mom even witnessed the papers flying around as well. There was also nights when my sister's radio would turn on and off in her bedroom. We'd always make my dad go in there and turn it off because we were so scared. My dad's huge stereo in the living room also seemed to turn on and off at random times as well. Fast forward, and my sister Nicole moved out and my brother moved into her room. There were six of us in a small three-bedroom house. When my brother moved into that room, it did not take long for him to start experiencing stuff in there as well. He was on the phone with his girlfriend at the time, and he saw someone standing at the end of his bed. This was shortly after our grandma died, so he did not feel threatened until it started to feel like he was being held down by his arms and legs. His girlfriend, while still on the phone with him, heard him gasping for air and choking. My mom had walked into the room to check on him, and that is when my brother came out of whatever it was. He began saying the Lord's Prayer to calm his nerves, but that was probably the terrifying thing, or the most terrifying thing, he's ever experienced in this house. That was not the first time he felt like he was being held down, either. The one experience that left me in tears was a night I cannot get out of my head. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 316 of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest of it, become an extra podcast person. That's an EPP. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. You get access to all of our bonus episodes in their entirety, 316 of them. You get advanced episodes of the show ad-free and a whole bunch of other extras as well throughout the year. You can also do an annual membership and get 1 month free when you sign up for that. You can do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help keep us on the air. In the rest of the episode, teens have a harmless sleepover, or so they think, harmless in terms of what the humans living do, but not so much in terms of what the humans dead do. And a young woman's deceased mother returns from the dead with a message that she delivers to an unsuspecting friend. Hear it all when you become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive.